If I understand during the Passover, God killed the first son of the Egyptians. It seems to be a bit hard.
Yeah, but in the time that we live in, it sounds pretty hard because they have, you know, it's kind of we have become too soft sometimes in this thing, and also sometimes we do not understand, you know, what it was happening, God was trying to show that the children of Israel have to get out of Egypt. They have to get out of the lower nature. Egypt was full of, you know, wealth and full of ungodly, you know, work in them. Well, not absolutely ungodly, but it's used for the selfish things, it become ungodly. And that's why he wanted to get the children of Israel out of lower nature, which was Egypt in that time, to get to the promised land. And what's promised land? It's a higher self, going from the third chakra to the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And in those chakras, who lives in those chakras? Bad tendencies. That they're like our first sons, that we love them, we don't want to let them go. What do we have to do with them? We have to kill them. Okay. Have to destroy them. Okay. Those are our first priorities, our fears, our attachments, our desires, our, you know, wants and all those things that is so dear to us. Are we let them go? Are we easily let go of those lower nature and things? Do we, you know, attach? Are we attached to them? Are we attached to our first sons? Yes, we are. We are attached to our sons, children, wives, you know, belonging and all that. But are they good for us? If they are all in our life, that's all that is in our life, they're not good. But if God is first, then we can enjoy them at the same time, you know, be godly while we have them. But if we are in our lower nature and our first priorities, as symbolized by the first sons of the Egyptian, then we're not going to let go and go to the higher self. They have to be, you know, those Egyptians have to see the power of God, and also it was, you have to kill them. You have to kill, not kill them completely, but to become detached about them. He didn't kill all their sons or daughters, just kill the first one. And who made them anyway in the first place? Who made the first sons of the Egyptian? God give it and God take it. You know, it's really as simple as that. There. And it's not very harsh for, just like you build a ship or you build a you know, something, and you decide, well, I'm going to destroy it and build another one. Are you a bad person that you're doing that? No, it was yours, you built it anyway, and you can do whatever you want with it. So he is the creator. To him, it's just, you remind me of Arjuna, actually. You know, Krishna took him and showed his real form, that people are destroyed, and, you know, and dying and getting old and are all rushing into the mouth of God and are destroyed. And Arjuna was very dismayed and said, I can't stand it. All this death and destruction and thing in the universe. But is it destruction bad? No. How can we build a new, a better house over this house if we don't first destroy it? You have to destroy old. You have to destroy bad. You have to destroy unholy. Okay. To make it holy. And, That's what God did. He destroyed the children. What happened? Did they let the children of Israel go after that? Yes, they did, because they weren't attached to the first sons anymore. They weren't attached to the lower natures anymore. They realized that the attachment is keeping them from letting God's will to be done. Okay. Egyptians were preventing the will of God to be done. Were they attached to the first children, this son? Yes, they were. So by doing that, what happened to Egyptians? They let his children go. And where did the children go? To the higher nature. They went to the promised land. Were they ready to go to the promised land? No, they were not ready to go to the promised land. That's why they made a lot of mistakes. Even after they left Egypt and they were in the way of the promised land, they were not pure enough to completely overcome the lower nature to be able to make it. So going to higher nature, it's a very powerful symbolic story how, you know, you have to get a little bit of attachment. You want to go to promised land. God gave you the promise, you're going to go to our nature and promised land. But is it easy to do it? First, Egyptians are not going to let you go. Okay. Egyptian is what? It's a symbol of the world. Okay. World is not going to let you go. You know? What's the head of the Egypt called?
Yeah.
And the Pharaoh, yeah. The Pharaoh of the world are going to try to pull you down and keep you where they had you before. They were their slave. As we again talked about it many times, that there are creatures in every person. Okay, in the crevices and the dark places, and they leave and come out and make us do things that are not holy, are not good. How do we get rid of them? Okay. Again, know thyself by meditation. See what you do, what the pattern of your life is. What happens to you? There's a pattern in everybody's life. You know, they do the same mistakes over and over and over and over. And they suddenly says, no, I'm not happy here in this town, in this place. I'll go somewhere else, I will be happy. Are they? Or will they? They go somewhere else, they make the same mistakes over and over and over. And they say, the whole humanity, the whole places are no good. I said, look, what you need to do is to put your bundle down and open it and see what junk into it, that you take it with you anytime you move from one place to another place. That is the problem, not the place. No? Is that knowing thyself? Yeah, it is knowing thyself. To look the bundle. Then you have created psychological, emotional, the desires, attachments, and open them up and look at them. Okay. Look at them squarely. You have to be a very brave person. If you take the where the Israelis brave, where Moses brave? Yes, he was. He had to stand up in to the face of whom? Pharaoh, the most powerful, you know, king on the earth in that time, and tell, let my people go. You have to tell that creature in you, let me go to higher nature. I don't want to listen to you. You know, to my lower nature and this thing. How do you do it? You look at this bondage, you look at this desire, the passion. Keep them in the light. Don't let them go. Don't fall back. That's why, you know, we teach you have to be strong physically, mentally, and spiritually. Physically, you have to exercise, get your body in a good shape, so spirit can come. Then intellectually, you have to meditate, read, understand, you know, educate yourself in all levels, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. It's a battle. It's a war. That's why brave people only take such a, you know, challenge to know thyself. Is it easy? How many long ago they said know thyself? How many people know themselves? It's been here on earth. Everybody quoted to know thyself is to know God. Even those who quote it sometimes, most of the time they don't know themselves. Okay. So, we can see that the killing of the children, first sons of the Egyptian, was a symbol of killing your attachment, desires, letting the children go, letting your lower self to go to the higher self. Okay, and also, who was Christ? He was his first begotten son, wasn't it? It was his first son. Did they kill his first son? Yes, they did. You see, you can exactly see. Did they suffer because their first, their sons were killed? Yes, they did.
They also killed the first sons of the Jews. The Pharaoh killed all the first sons of the Jews, so they wouldn't.
That's right. Good point. Very good point. Joshua said not only the first son of the Jews. I think they killed all the sons. Maybe you're right.
The first son, because they were expecting the Messiah.
That's right, exactly. Actually, that's a good point. That also, they were waiting for the Savior come from the first son of the Jewish woman. And Pharaoh told them to kill all of the first-born Jewish sons. Later on, even in the time of Christ, they killed anybody that who was 2 years or younger. Was that too cruel? You see, we can see that that is also was cruel also. And we blame God for what he did, but we don't blame those people for what they did. So we can see again, you know, God is not just. Yes, he is. He created them. Okay. When he destroys something, is nothing something external like us. Something is destroyed out there. No, he's destroying something within himself. Like a disease, do we kill disease? Do we kill the germs in our body? Don't we take antibiotics? When the antibiotics have, you know, sit and start talking about it, they say, this my kid is not good. He takes antibiotic and destroys us. But is it good for me? Yes, it's good for God's body. Because, you know, those antibiotics might come to make condition a better people, a better thing in the universe. So we can see that it is much more expanded and more complicated than we see in a one single tunnel vision and blame God for being cruel. And he's not. How do we know who they were anyway, these people, these first sons that he killed? Where they had a lot of karmas in previous lifetimes, that they had to pay for it anyway. You see, the justice of God can be very easily seen when we know there is incarnation and law of karma. Maybe they needed to be dead anyway and suffer. But he creates the situation in such a way that at the same time, some other benefits comes out of it. Okay. So, it is symbolic, it's a symbolic of your our lower natures, our desires, our first priority of life, which to us seems so important and we don't want to let them go and we have to attach to them. That's why we're not going to go into the higher nature, to the promised land. So it was important. They have to be killed and go, you know. If they were supposed to be dead anyway because they had high, you know, karma in the previous lifetimes, so why not put it in such a situation so that they suffer for what they did at the same time, get the benefit of putting such a wonderful, symbolic, historic thing for humanity, and now we're talking about it and we understand in much deeper level what God was doing. See, God's mind is so expanded, it's so, you have to experience it once. If you experience it, then you see, he sees everything at the same time and does everything justly. He's not unjust. That's one thing I'm very, very sure about it. He's not cruel. He's not those things that a lot of people relate him to it. He's not cruel. He's not. He's very just. And justice eventually happens. That's why he creates love, karma, and incarnation. Because he's just. He wants the justice to be done. Is he doing this to punish us? Did he create the law of karma and reincarnation so he enjoys to make us suffer for what he did previous lifetime? No. They are there for us to learn our lessons. When he will learn a lesson, does he forgive the rest of it? Yes, he does. So it's really, again, it's for our own good, not for his, you know, for enjoyment or something that make him, you know, tyrants or enjoying, make humanity suffer. You have to see this thing clearly, okay, that vision, that is at all, the whole setup is to guide us to our higher self. The whole creation is created for this purpose. And we have to set our life in such a way that we are going to God and also see His expanded vision of God and how He works. Not blame Him for our inability to see the whole picture and see, oh wow, He knows what is He doing and He wasn't cruel at all. So God is not cruel. If you ever come to God something and say, God is cruel, think to us. Remember my words. God is not cruel. God is just. So if something happened that it sounds cruel to us, we have to expand our consciousness. We have to be able to see why it is happening. Okay. Of course, as we said, we have to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. We have to bring the justice on earth. Okay? There are sometimes cruelty is happening. Okay, when a dictator is cruel to other people, you know, the people who believe in the wrong definition of the reincarnation and the law of karma, they say, well, it was their karmas. No. How do we know it wasn't the first time this dictator is doing this to the innocent people? The dictator is creating karma. But those innocent people are being, for the first time, you know, exposed to the cruelty. So that's why it's so important to create the common supply. It's so important to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's so important to create justice for the whole humanity. And then if somebody, you know, fell from the mountain and died, we can say, oh, maybe that was his karma. He had to suffer because he did some cruel. And also in a just world, do we create more karma or in the unjust world? We create more karma in the unjust world. Because I say, if everybody does it, then I can be cruel to other people too. Because everybody is cruel to me, why not? Let me cruel to you. Am I creating bad karma? Yes, you are. You don't have the escape of it. Because you also are cruel to other people. So we can see that as we create a better environment for people, there's less karma that we created, and the less we have to go through all these things that seem to us cruel, but it's not. It is a law that's taking shape and place on earth. Does that make sense to you, Ishvara?
Yes, like that.
Is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions or any follow-up or anything you guys want to discuss about the same matter or want to put some input in it? Good input though. God input. You guys don't have any questions at all? Mm-hmm.